Lamb, the Lamb that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm going to talk to you about the Lamb, the size of the Lamb, what's going on, and what's going to happen in the future during the millennial reign with the Israel and with the Jewish people. Tonight I want to talk to you about, to start off with, talk to you about some of the things that are happening right now in the world, in the Middle East. Do you realize that right now Israel only has 1,008 square miles? Israel is a very, very small country. Israel is a country that would be at its widest point from Amarillo to Delhar, at its widest point, and then it slivers down, and it would go from like the state line of New Mexico to the state line of Oklahoma. It's smaller than New Jersey. Israel is a small, small country, and people are wanting them to go back to the previous boundaries of 1967, but that's not going to happen. God told in the book of Amos, God told Israel, this land I have given you forever. And when God uses the word forever, he means forever. But I want you to imagine for just a moment, there are some more wars that are going to take place. I feel like there's going to be a war that's called Psalm 83 war. That is the nations around Israel that border, have a common border with Israel. Not the outer nations, but the ones that have a common border with Israel. We see that tonight on the world news, and we could already be in the Psalm 83 war. If not, we could be in soon. Damascus borders, has a common border with Israel. And according to Isaiah 3,000 years ago, Damascus is going to fall. And Damascus is going to become a ruinous heap. And Damascus is going to cease to be a city. That could happen tonight or even before we leave this building tonight. I want you to listen very, very carefully here at some facts that I have. Do you know there is an ongoing threat to Israel, a terrorist threat right now? There is an ongoing terrorist threat. They are calling for the annihilation of Israel and the Jewish people to push them in to the Mediterranean Sea. Israel's citizens are targeted every day. Every day they are targeted. And so right now, and you might want to write this down, right now, this is astounding. There's 180,000 rockets that are pointed toward Israel by her bordering neighbors. I'm not talking about Iran and Iraq. I'm talking about the bordering neighbors of Israel. There's 180,000 rockets on her border. Now, here's what you might want to remember. Use your imagination. I don't have a chart. But use your imagination. North of Israel is Lebanon. That's where Hezbollah's headquarters are. And there's over 70,000 rockets that are pointed to Israel from the north, from Lebanon. Over 70,000 rockets. And many of these are hidden in the inner structure of Lebanon. And they're providing Lebanon is providing arms right now and troops to Syria, that is the next door neighbor to Israel, where we're seeing all this conflict. That's the north of Israel, the bordering neighbor on the north. Then if you go to the southwest, not the west because that's the Mediterranean Sea, but if you go to the southwest, you'll see Gaza. And in Gaza, Hamas terrorists are there by the tens of thousands. And Gaza has over 10,000 rockets now prepared to shoot at Israel. They are still having problems over Gulf Katif that took place 6 years ago when Jewish men went in and forced their own brothers to move out of their own homes, and 10,000 Jews were displaced during Gulf Katif, and that all happened in the southwest part, just next door in the southwest of Israel, in the Gaza Strip, who has over 10,000 rockets, and many of them are aimed at Israel. Southwest in Gaza, they have already launched in recent months 8,000 rockets to Israel, toward Israel. It's just amazing. It's amazing what the Jews can do. They have the Iron Dome that is very, very effective. But the most effective thing that the Israelis have is a spy in the sky, because the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel never slumbers nor never sleeps. Hallelujah. And so God is keeping Israel. Then if you go to the southwest border, you have the Sinai, just the southwest. So we've talked about the north, we've talked about the west or the southwest, and then we've talked about the south. You go to the south part of Israel, borders Sinai. This is the home of global jihad, and many borders are attracted to other people because of their power, and they have multiple rockets that have already launched into southern Israel. So we have the north, we have the southwest. The west is the Mediterranean Sea, and then we have the south. Now that's happening right now as I talk. Then you go to the northeast. The northeast part of Israel is bordered by Syria. The only thing that is keeping Syria from attacking Israel tonight is the fortification of the Golan Heights. And there's people in America that are calling for Israel to go back to her pre-67 borders, which would give the Golan Heights back to Syria. So we pray for Israel, and the Bible has instructed us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, Syria, as you know, has chemical weapons, and they apparently, undoubtedly, have used chemical weapons on their own people. I shift back and forth whether I think we should go in the Syria or not. I'm having a struggle with that. If we could go get Assad and all of his people that help him and take care of them and not disturb the innocent people, then it would be a positive thing. But if we go in and we fight for people that are against us, then we have a question, big red question mark, whether we should do it or not. So that's a matter of personal opinion, and I had a preacher to call me from Tulsa, Oklahoma about 5:30 this evening, and he was asking me my opinion about that, and I said I was going to share that tonight. They have their chemical weapons. There's been over 100,000 people have been put to death in Syria, and that's a bordering country of Israel. Isaiah chapter 17 talks about Damascus falling, and we know about the Assad regime, and then we see a growing population of jihadists and other terrorists, people that are amassing in Syria tonight. Now if you go straight to the east, then you go to the West Bank. See, Syria is in the northeast, the borders, the northeast part of Israel. But the West Bank, to the east, you've got the West Bank, and there are radical forces in the West Bank, and there's anti-Israel excitement and hatred that takes place in the West Bank almost every day. Now, that is five nations that border Israel. And I think the Psalm 83 war will be involving the nations that have a common border with Israel. Now, that's not the war of Ezekiel 38. That is not the war. My pastor taught on Ezekiel 38 yesterday morning, and he did a tremendous job, and he was right on target, and he was correct in his presentation. That's another war altogether, which I call the war of Gog and Magog. Then there will be another war, which is the war of Armageddon, and one of these nights I want to teach on the mother war, Armageddon, that will take place during the tribulation period. But these are wars that are yet in the future, and maybe if we connected the dots, we might already be in Psalm 83 war. Then, ladies and gentlemen, Iran is not a bordering country of Israel. It's two countries over. But you know what Iran is trying to do. Little Hitler, the leader of Iran, is saying that the Jews should be pushed into the Mediterranean Sea and they should be annihilated. Little Hitler of Iran is saying that they should get the Saturday people first. That's the Jews, and the Sunday people second. That's you and I, or most of us here. There are some here that do worship on Saturday, and we have no problem with that. Now, they are a great threat to Israel. They are a tremendous threat, even though they're two countries across. They have nuclear weapons combined with extremist cries to annihilate Israel. They have 400 pounds of 20% uranium that is sufficient for several nuclear bombs. The Iranians' leaders are calling for, they call Israel these names. They call them a cancerous tumor. That's what they are calling Israel. The Iranian leaders say we will wipe Israel off from the map. Do you understand? And ladies and gentlemen, if you get a map from any Arab country in the Middle East, they do not have the nation of Israel on their map. They just left them off on the map, and they're teaching their boys and girls in school that they don't even teach them that Israel exists. They refuse to acknowledge the existence of Israel. And so that's on the Arab maps. Look at it carefully. They don't even acknowledge that Israel is there. So that's what's happening tonight and today, and it's very, very current. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to go back now to what God had to say, and then I'll bring us up to date in the next 3 months about what God had to say about Israel. You remember when God spoke to Abram, and Abram was 99 years of age. And God spoke to Abram, and he told Abram, you're going to have a child, and you're going to become the father of a multitude, 99 years old. So Abram went into Sarah and told her to turn off the television, that he had just got a revelation from God that he's going to become a father. And so Abram was promised by God. And I want to read it real carefully from the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 5 through 8. Listen very carefully. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make thy nations of thee. I will make nations come from thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seeds after thee in their generation for an everlasting, underline that in your Bible, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Then verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, A-double-L, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Then if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 12 and read the first through the third verses, you'll hear things like this. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them, listen to this carefully, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. Now the Jews during the diaspora were scattered all over the world. In 70 AD, Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem, and Rome put to death 1,100,000 Jews then, and 1,000 fled to Masada, and not only that, they were scattered all over the world. Rome took some of the athlete boys out of Jerusalem before it was destroyed and took them to Rome, and they had slave labor to make the Colosseum where Christians were put to death by the mouth of the lions. I've been in that Colosseum. It brings back memories of history about the death of the Jews and those Jewish boys that were made slaves. But that was what we call the diaspora. Now I know John Hay calls it diaspora, and I questioned that, and I had someone that really knows grammar and know English to look it up, and they told me I was right. So anyway, they call it the diaspora, and that is the scattering or the disbursement of the Jews all around the world. Since in the last year, especially since 1948, Jews have come back from all over the world back to Israel. This is the promised land. This is the land God gave them. And when God says forever, God means forever. Nobody's going to take that land from them. It belongs to God's people. Can you say amen? So the diaspora, they were scattered all over the world. Now, Isaiah said something, and I'm going to repeat myself from a couple of months ago. Isaiah said something I think is very interesting. He said the order of the return of the Jews back to their land. When I was a boy in the Boy Scouts, I learned to read a compass, north, south, east, and west. And Isaiah said the people are going to return, but he didn't say they would return from the north, south, east, and west. Isaiah said they'll return to Jerusalem from the east, and then they'll return to Jerusalem from the west, and then they will return to Jerusalem from the north, and then they'll return to Jerusalem from the south. If you will study your history, you will find that they begin to return from Europe. And then you will find that they begin to return from Canada and the United States, from the east and then from the west. It was against the law for a Jew to leave Russia from the north and go down to Israel until glasnost and perestroika, and after that they begin to return from the north. Isn't it amazing? They did exactly what Isaiah said 3,000 years ago, from the east, from the west, and then from the north. And so they came by the thousand Russian Jews down to Jerusalem and Israel, and they did it according to what the Bible predicted 3,000 years ago. Then in the last 10 or 12 years, they have been returning from the south, just exactly like Isaiah said they would, and they are coming from Ethiopia up to Jerusalem. those little fallacious Jews. They are tiny in size or small. They are dark-skinned Jews in Ethiopia. They started returning to Israel, and the rabbi said that the Ethiopian Jews would never come to Israel unless the Messiah was on his way. And so they are returning by the thousands. As a matter of fact, they came on these jumbo jets that will seat about 400 people. Sweet Joyce and I have ridden on those jumbo jets for hours. I flew from San Francisco to Hong Kong to preach. I was on a jumbo jet for 24 hours without it landing. It flew the circle of the earth because they save fuel that way. Sweet Joyce and I left JFK in New York City and flew to Johannesburg, South Africa, where I preached all over South Africa. And we were in the air 24 hours without refueling or without landing. So it was a tough, tough trip, but they're big planes. So they took the seats out of these jumbo jets, and they put these fallacious Jews, and they would sit on the floor. They would sit next to each other. They'd lay down on the floor. Some of them were standing. They put up to 1,400 people on one flight and brought them to Israel from Ethiopia, just like Isaiah said. They would come from the south last, and that's exactly what they did. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, on one flight from Ethiopia to Tel Aviv with 1,400 fallacious Jews on that plane, 7 babies were born on that plane on that one flight. Can you imagine that? It just is mind-blowing to me, but it happened. Well, Isaiah said it would happen, and so the diaspora is a real thing, and the Jews are coming back to Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's only about 13 million Jews in the world. I'm talking about Jews. I'm talking about people that are really Jews. There's only about 13 million in the world. There are 6 million in Israel. There are 3 million in New York. And there's 3 million scattered all around the world. And just a few years ago, Israel became the nation or the area that had the greatest population of Jews of any other nation in the world. That just happened in our lifetime, just a few years ago. Now, let me ask you this. If God told Abram, your name will no longer be called Abraham, you will become the father of a multitude, and they had a child, and through the lineage of Abraham, who are the progenitors of the Jewish people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the progenitors of the 12 tribes of Israel, and then all of the Jews of the world. If God told Abram many, many years ago, way back in the book of Genesis, that he would come the father of a multitude, and out of him would come kings and priests, and even one verse of scripture says they will fill the world with their fruit. They are supplying 90% of all of the citrus fruit of Eastern Europe right now. That little tiny nation, just a spot on the earth. Now, what is the possibility that that could happen? Write this down if you can. The law of compound probability. The law of compound probability. There's over 3,000 verses of scripture in the Bible total. Approximately 10,000 of those verses of scripture are prophecy. As a matter of fact, 28% of all of the Bible was prophetic at the time that it was written, 28%. And about 90% of all prophecy has been fulfilled. All right, in the law of compound probability, This will blow your mind if you think about it. If you only took 17 prophecies, there's 10,000 in the Bible, but you just take 17 of those prophecies, and if all 17 of those prophecies came to pass, here is the number that will blow your mind. And we've seen more than 17 prophecies fulfilled since we've been doing this seminar the last 4.5 years. But if you take just 17 out of 10,000 and they be fulfilled, it would be 1 in 480 billion times a billion times 1 trillion. 480 billion times a billion times 1 trillion, that would even take place and happen. And we see prophecy fulfilled most every day on television and in the newspaper that the Bible talked about. That's the law of compound probability. What's a trillion? What's a million? What's a billion? Take your watch, look at your second hand, and begin to count. If you counted your second hand to a million, it'd take you 10 years by your second hand. If you counted it to a billion, it would take you 31 years to count to a billion. But there's a big, big difference between a billion and a trillion. If you counted with your second hand to a trillion, it would take you 32,000 years to count to a trillion. And think about it, our nation, what now, is $18 trillion going in, $18 trillion in debt? Trillion is a lot, ladies and gentlemen. I can't even comprehend that. 32,000 years with your second hand to count each second, take that long for 1 trillion. So that is the law of compound probability. I mentioned a while ago, 10,000 verses in the scripture. Actually, there's 10,385 verses in the Bible that were prophetic at the time that they were written. Now, think about Israel for a minute, the rebirth of Israel. The chances of that happening are astronomical, but it happened. Do you know there's never been a nation in the history of the world that has deceased to be a nation and people scattered and then be reborn? There's never been a nation in the history of the world. But Isaiah said, who hath heard such a thing? And who can believe such a thing? That a nation will be born in a day. And that's exactly what happened in May of 1948. A nation was born in a day. The British mandate expired over Palestine, and it ended on midnight, May 14, 1948. And that's why we sometimes hear May 14, 1948, and other times we hear May 15, 1948, because the British mandate over Israel, or that land, expired at midnight on May 14, 1948. Israel's first prime minister was named David Ben-Gurion. David Ben-Gurion declared that Israel was a nation. Now I'm going to give you some history here that's going to help you understand about the Jews and about Israel. David Ben-Gurion was the first prime minister. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon on May 14 in Israel, he drove down Rothschild Street in Tel Aviv, and he went to an art museum, and there were 400 reporters in this art museum from all over the world. And David Ben-Gurion went there with one goal, and that was to announce that Israel was a state or a nation. General Marshall, whom Harry Truman said was the greatest citizen that America ever had. But then General Marshall and Harry Truman had a problem over the rebirth of Israel. General Marshall started the Marshall Plan, and Harry Truman thought he was the greatest American citizen there was. But when it came to the rebirth of Israel, General Marshall was against it, and Harry Truman had to be persuaded, and it took him a while to be for it. As a matter of fact, it was 6:10 in the afternoon, 6 o'clock, 10 minutes, p.m. in Washington, D.C., when Harry Truman finally released a written release to the people of America and to the world that he put his approval on the Israel becoming a state. And General Marshall was so unhappy about it, and he and Harry Truman had this fallout over that one thing, even though Harry Truman called him the greatest citizen America ever had. General Marshall called David Ben-Gurion, the man that was going to announce that Israel would become a state. And General Marshall told David Ben-Gurion, if you announce Israel has become a nation, in 3 days, there won't be a Jew alive on the earth, on planet earth, if you announce it becomes a nation. In 3 days' time, there won't be a Jew alive. And David Ben-Gurion was determined. And when he announced, at 4 p.m. exactly, Tel Aviv time, the day before, when he announced it, immediately, Israel, this little group of people, were attacked by 4 hostile nations that had tanks, that had machine guns, that had bombs, that had an army, that had soldiers. They were prepared and they attacked Israel. Israel had 2 Piper Cubs and 1,000 machine guns. That's all they had. But he that keepeth Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. Hallelujah. And there's a spy in the sky. And God came down and helped the Israelis when they had that war in 1948. And that little ragtag army, unprepared, they whipped the socks off from their Arab neighbors, and God gave them the victory against all odds. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. It's amazing. The Israelis fight like they did in the Old Testament. You remember in the Old Testament? They tied foxes' tails together and set them on fire, and their enemies thought thousands of armies were coming toward them, and God gave them the victory. Against all odds, I read of a war that Israel was having, and they were going across the area that was covered with sand about that deep. And it was a place where the wind never blows. And that under that sand, it was covered with landmines. And the Israelis were going to have to cross that. And the leader didn't know what to do. He knew there were landmines, but he didn't know what to do. They step on it, blow their legs off. And so God Almighty, against all odds, when that wind never blew there, a huge wind came up, and they began to blow, and those soldiers could hardly stand up. The wind was so heavy, and it blew the sand away. And they walked across those landmines, knowing wherever a landmine was, and not one Israeli soldier got hurt. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. That'd make you want to say amen. Amen. Mosi Dayan, that one-eyed general during the 67 war, The Israelis were taking these Arabs prisoners by the thousands out in the desert, the hot desert. And they came to Moshe Dayan, that one-eyed general. He wasn't a Christian. He really didn't even believe in the Messiah that is coming, like most of the Jews do, even though they don't accept Jesus. But he was a good soldier. And they came to Moshe Dayan and said, "We've got thousands of prisoners. What are we going to do? Are we going to build a stockade? Are we going to put a big chain link fence around hundreds of acres and put them in there? What are we going to do?" And Moshe Dayan said, "Just take their shoes away from them. That's all you have to do. They're not going to go anywhere on that hot desert. Just take their shoes away. They fight like Old Testament people, and God always gives the victory." Now, Israel's in a precarious position right now, and the war of Psalm 83 could happen any minute with all these rockets, over 100,000 aimed at Israel. But I've got news for Obama. I've got news for Jimmy Carter. I've got news for Iran, that God will never forsake his people and he will give Israel the victory. That's their land, and God said you would have it forever, and forever they will have it. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I talk like that, I'm not being political. I stay away from politics as much as I can. But I tell you what I will do. I'm going to be spiritual against the non-spiritual. And I'm going to be biblical against the non-biblical. And when I say God says that's your land, I don't care what these leaders say. It is their land. Amen. Listen again. David Ben-Gurion went in there to establish Israel as a nation. In May of 1948, in that art building on Rothschild Street in Tel Aviv, Israel. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what all these people say. It doesn't make me any difference. It doesn't make me any difference about political correctness and political non-correctness as long as I teach the Bible. I don't care what they say. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Jerusalem one day is going to be the capital of the world during the millennial reign. And another thing, the Bible says that Jerusalem is the navel, the belly button of the earth, the center of the earth. That's God's land, the promised land. It belongs to God, and God owns it, and he can give it to whoever he wants to. And God gave the title deed to Israel, and they have that land forever. David Ben-Gurion, let me quote him, and I wrote it down a few days ago. I was searching his speech, and I wrote this down. He said the land of Israel was the birthplace of the Jewish people, period. Then he said that here in Israel, they wrote and gave the Bible. That ought to make enough to make us believe. They gave the Bible to the world. 66 books. I'm under the opinion that 64 of them were written by Jews. I personally believe that Luke, who wrote Luke and John, was a Greek. But I could be wrong. He could have been a Jew. If he was a Jew, then all 66 of the books were written by the Jews. But I'm under the opinion of 64. Anyway, David Ben-Gurion said, here they wrote and gave us the Bible, and impelled by this historical association, the Jews have strove throughout the centuries to go back to the land of their fathers and reign their state and regain their statehood. Quote David Ben-Gurion. Now let's think for a minute. At the beginning tonight, oh my goodness, my time's about gone. I'm just getting warmed up, folks. But I'll keep my word. We may have to go 4 months. I said at the beginning that that land was very small. Just a sliver of land in the Middle East on the east side of the Mediterranean Sea. Do you realize that Israel tonight is only 1/19 of the size of California? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, tonight Israel is the size, approximately the size, of one of the smallest states in America, and that's New Jersey. And that's a nation. That's not a United States. That's a nation. And they're about the size of New Jersey. Do you realize what they will have during the millennial reign? And here's what you want to think about. I had a lady come to me one night and said, if Israel's that small, how come Israel doesn't have all that land that God promised Abraham? Well, you see, they kept getting it taken away from them. In fact, the League of Nations and the Club of Rome, and now the Bilderbergs is trying to take a little bit at a time, and even leaders in our nation wanting them to go back to their 67 borders. So they've gotten a little smaller all the time, and they never did possess all of that land that God gave Abraham. God said, everywhere you see and everywhere you put your foot, that'll be your land. Now, after the rapture of the church, after a 7-year tribulation period on this earth, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when we come back with Jesus riding on white horses, and Jesus establishes his kingdom on the throne of David in Jerusalem, will be the millennial reign. At that point, the Jews are going to receive their land, all of their land back. They're going to have what they have now. Then they're going to have Lebanon on the north. They're going to own that land. They're going to have the West Bank of Jordan. That's going to be the Jews. They're going to have a good part of Syria. They're going to have a good part of Iraq. And they're going to have a big chunk out of Saudi Arabia. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. And Genesis 18, verse 28 talks about it and calls for Israel to return to that land that God has promised them. Now the Jews win against all odds. Think about it like this. And I'm telling you, next month I've got so much I'd like to say tonight, I just can't get it said. But think about this. They win against all odds. And you can win against all odds with God's help. Amen. I had a preacher call me from Tulsa tonight. He said 2 weeks ago he went out on his driveway, he fell down, he was unconscious. A man came out and kept pumping his chest. They called 911, and he said, I was unconscious to this world, but he said, I had the most peaceful experience that was possible, and he said, I was hoping they couldn't revive me. And he said, they took me to the emergency room. He didn't die. Dying is absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He had a near-death experience. That's what he had. And there's a difference between near-death and death. And he had a peaceful experience. And what's the odds? What's the odds? But you take a person that lives for God, it's amazing what can happen with them. Think about it. You cripple a man, and you can have a Sir Walter Scott. You can lock a man in a prison and you can have a John Bunyan. You can bury him in the snows of Valley Forge and you can have a George Washington. You can raise him in abject poverty and you have an Abraham Lincoln. You can strike him down with infantile paralysis and you can have a Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You can burn him so severely on his body that the doctor says he'll never walk again. And you can have a Glenn Cunningham that ran and set a record of running after that happened to them and set a record in 1934 of the 4-minute mile. You could defame a man and you have a Beethoven. You could call him a slow learner and retarded, and write him off as being uneducatable, and you can have an Albert Einstein. I'm here to tell you, God plus one is a majority. Hallelujah. Is a majority. Now let me quickly bring this to a head for tonight. But I'm telling you, friends, I'm just getting started. David Ben-Gurion rushed down Rothschild Street Boulevard in Tel Aviv at that museum. 400 people waiting. And here's something else that he said. The right is the natural right of the Jewish people to be masters of their own fate. Like all other nations in their sovereign state, we have that right. Accordingly, we here assemble, and by virtue of our natural and historical right, and on the strength of the resolution of the Assembly of the United Nations, we hereby declare the establishment of the Jewish state, Israel, to be known as the State of Israel. So Israel is alive, and Israel is well, and God is going to take care of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.